This is the Breaker.News podcast for the week of August 28th, 2022. I'm Bob Mackin, publisher of the Breaker.News and host of the Breaker.News podcast. Welcome to edition number 253. The Breaker is your source for news, opinion, and analysis about British Columbia issues, institutions, and influencers. Later, I'll tell you how you can support The Breaker. On this edition, headlines from the Pacific Rim and the Pacific Northwest. I award a virtual Nanaimo bar to a difference maker. And on the big deal feature, Charlie Wu from the Asian Canadian Special Events Association previews Vancouver Taiwan Fest 2022, coming September 3rd to 5th. This is the big deal feature on the Breaker.News podcast. Taiwan Fest Vancouver is coming September 3rd to 5th on the North Plaza at the Vancouver Art Gallery. Free admission to the multimedia and culinary cultural celebration. My guest is Charlie Wu of the Asian Canadian Special Events Association, which produces Taiwan Fest. This year, also highlighting Indonesia and Malaysia. Thanks for joining me, Charlie. Tell me about how Asian Canadian Special Events Association came about and how Taiwan Fest came about.
Well, thanks very much, Bob, for having me on the program. And first of all, Taiwan Fest actually goes back a bit further. The organization was founded in 2004, but the festival was part of Taiwanese Cultural Festival at the Taiwanese Canadian Cultural Society, which dated back to 1990. So it's been a while. I've been managing the festival since 2001. And Asian Canadian Special Events was set up to properly kind of take ownership of Taiwan Fest because, you know, the nonprofit organization that that we used to manage the festival, has other missions and other agendas. But we thought the event requires a full time staff and a bit of attention to kind of take it to the next level, and that's what we have done with Asian Canadian Special Events, and we evolved from a small community based event to now that we partnered with Harbourfront Centre, with our partner in Toronto, Taiwanese Canadian Association of Toronto, and to put on the Toronto version of Taiwan Fest. It has been quite interesting and quite fascinating for myself. You know, I always tell people that I learned a lot more about Taiwan doing Taiwan Fest than I actually, growing up in Taiwan. It is something that I think Canadian diversity has so much to do with my own identity journey. Thank you for having me on the program.
And Taiwan Fest is unique. Every year you manage to share the spotlight. This year, you're highlighting Indonesian and Malaysian culture. You bring them along. You allow the Indonesian and Malaysian communities in Vancouver to join in. How will they be integrated into this year's event?
Yeah, so since 2016, we started this Dialogue with Asia series, and we thought, what a better way than just showcasing Taiwan than engaging other communities, especially those communities that actually have a lot of relevance to Taiwan, Taiwanese culture. For example, in this year's dialogue with Indonesia and Malaysia, I think a lot of people don't know there's 300,000 Indonesian living in Taiwan today. And so that kind of number is actually much bigger than the Taiwanese living in Vancouver presently. So to say that Indonesian community is such a profound impact on Taiwan, it's really an untold story. And many of them actually supported a lot of Taiwanese economy, especially in the fishing industry. And there's also in the economic side of it, there's a lot of laborers, foreign workers that are actually on the Taiwan semiconductors, as well as caretakers at home taking care of the elders. So Indonesian community, it has been a big part of Taiwan, And as far as Malaysian communities, it's also quite interesting because there's a lot of Chinese, Malaysian in Malaysia, and many of them actually, have to kind of find their home for expressing their creativity, and many actually landed in Taiwan, from music industry, from literary industry, and even many people that actually found Taiwan such a hub for them to actually express everything they want to say. And sometimes that's in Malaysia is a bit of a challenge for them. So Taiwan plays this important role for some overseas Chinese, and it's over even more interesting that a lot of Chinese Malaysian came to Taiwan, kind of imagining what Chinese culture to be found in Taiwan, and they were kind of shocked. It's actually very different from what they perceived to be. And so that whole clash of cultures and the vibrancy of what Taiwan is about today is why we want to kind of bring these dialogues together and to find the connections between us, between different cultures, and kind of reflect that on our own diversity here in Vancouver, in Canada. There's a lot more connection between us than we actually realize. And maybe Taiwan Fest can play that kind of role to initiate these dialogues. So that's why we do what we do.
I asked Charlie Wu of the Asian Canadian Special Events Association about Taiwanese reaction to China's military action after U.S. Congress Speaker Nancy Pelosi's visit.
Indonesia will be getting an even bigger spotlight in November when it hosts the G20 Leaders Summit. That's this fall. But throughout this summer, Taiwan has been in the headlines, of course, mainly for geopolitics. This gives you a chance to showcase Taiwanese culture and people who may be curious about Taiwan and why it's such a beautiful place, why it's such a place that is being looked at by the two superpowers. This will give people a chance to know more about Taiwanese culture and Taiwanese people.
Yeah, and I think through the pandemic, Taiwan has also been a headline as well. Has done quite well, and I always joke around telling people that actually Taiwanese people know Chinese government well, and that's how they kind of know how to interpret the messages coming from China. And even despite all these fighter jets flying around Taiwan, Taiwan kind of stay put and understand that they need to do what they need to do, and not actually create the tension that the Chinese government is looking to create. So Taiwan kind of understands how can handle this kind of tensions, and maybe that's something that the world can take a lesson from Taiwan rather than overreacting to what's happening in the cross-strait relationship. Taiwan needs to be seen as a place that's with a lot of diversity, not just of people of cultures, but also in nature. Taiwan is at the cross point of Tropic of Cancer and the Kuroshio Current, which kind of built Taiwan as a super nice area for everything to actually lend itself and then to find life, and that's what kind of history that Taiwan has been. It's always been such a great place for everything to find its own life, and even for these migrant workers that we have featured for the past few years, many have actually done well. And besides their own economic needs, and I've seen in our Philippine years, we have seen Filipino migrant workers find its own artist career in Taiwan. And in Vietnamese, when we did the Vietnamese dialogue, we can see a lot of young Vietnamese talents also finding Taiwan as their new home to do what they want to do. So it's very much a place that people can enjoy life, and at the same time, it's something that it's unique from what people normally perceive Taiwan as a Chinese culture base. But we also have huge, well, I wouldn't say huge, but it's about 2 to 3% of indigenous population, and the indigenous history in Taiwan goes back about 8,000 years, and is also the home of Austronesian languages. So Taiwan has such a diverse cultures and languages, and so if people still perceive Taiwan as a Chinese cultural country, maybe they need to visit Taiwan to see how diverse Taiwan really is.
And you've got a real diverse lineup on Taiwan Fest Vancouver this year. Interesting headliner for one segment is Ed Hill, Taiwanese Canadian comedian. Talk about what he brings to the festival and what people will find out and laugh about when they see Ed Hill perform.
Yeah, Ed is he came to Canada when he was young and developed a career in stand-up comedy. He was actually part of Taiwan Fest last year, and a lot of people thought this is a good way to express how a country is embrace the freedom of expression. Comedy is probably one way to do that. And Ed he had done his special 1 hour special called Candy and Smiley, and his own personal story as an immigrant from an immigrant family is where the source of his talk and his jokes. And it is super funny. And if you want to understand how an immigrant is perceived, or how an immigrant sees himself or the family, what Ed Hill brings to everyone would make you a day, a great day. You can enjoy a few laughters while understanding how an immigrant is perceived in Canada. So Ed Hill is a show that you don't want to miss.
Because my dad's favorite thing to do is, in a situation he doesn't want to be in, he'll just go, "No English," and he'll walk away. Yeah. Have you ever seen a grown man do no English to a Mormon? Yeah, it's bananas. Happy the other day, guys at the door is like, "Sir, would you like to know about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ?" My dad just went, "No English." And the Mormon just starts speaking perfect Mandarin. Yeah, perfect Mandarin. Totally threw my dad off. Now we gotta go to church every weekend.
That's Taiwanese Canadian stand-up comedian Ed Hill, who will be appearing at Taiwan Fest in Vancouver. Taiwan Fest is giving a nod to Hideki Nagayama, the Japanese citizen who campaigned to let Taiwan be Taiwan at the Tokyo Olympics rather than Chinese Taipei.
Well, with Hideki, I think the way that we bring in him is instead of bringing him to the talk, is actually we created a webtoon with his story and inspired by his story. And one of our Taiwanese illustrator, Zheng Jingwen, he actually took his story and created a webtoon. And in addition to Hideki, we also added a few other people that, like Hideki, who have been speaking for Taiwan around the globe. It could be government, like just the former late Prime Minister of Japan, Abe, Shinzo Abe. He was also a very Taiwan-friendly Prime Minister and have been speaking for Taiwan for many years. So people like that, we kind of put together this webtoon and acknowledging their support and maybe encouraging more people to speak for Taiwan. So this is a 6-minute webtoon that we created. And with the music from one of the famous Taiwanese artists, and he passed away a few years ago, but his music we want to kind of continue on. So it's a group of people that spoke for Taiwan, and it's our way of thanking them for speaking for Taiwan, and just for the people that want to check this out, it's going to be available online. This is one of the online program, and also we're going to have the actual illustration display on Granville Street as well. So there's two ways to appreciate this program.
Taiwan Fest Vancouver also highlights writers, filmmakers, and musicians. In each of those categories, what are the highlights that people should mark on their schedule to come and see? Of course, they can find the schedule at VancouverTaiwanFest.ca. In terms of the written word, music, and filmmaking, in each of those categories, what do people, what is can't miss?
Well, I think there's a program that I would, you know, definitely encourage people to take part. And it's also a part in partnership with Vancouver Public Library. It's a program under Taiwan Bookstore. So it's where we bring in authors that, you know, have, you know, great impact in the Chinese language literary world. And this program is called Words of the Resistance. And it's actually documenting how Taiwan kind of evolved from the martial law period, and how the authors find themselves trying to create, trying to express without, you know, the danger of being, you know, without endangering their own personal life. And some of these experiences may be shared by the Chinese authors in Malaysia or in other countries. So, and especially China, you know. So this is a way to showcase how Taiwan's experience may be of can shed some light for those people who are looking to you know, to express themselves, and also for people to kind of find a destination to look for these authors. You know, Taiwan has no restrictions, and it's an embrace total freedom of expression. So if you want to, if you're looking for great minds, great writings, Taiwan is probably the best to go, best place to go if you're looking for the Chinese language literary world. Mm-hmm. And other, I mean, we want to talk about the music as well. So one of the groups that we brought in, and I think it's something that you don't want to miss as well, is an indigenous band from Taiwan called Kanada. And it's and the reason that we have indigenous band is it's been a focal point of Taiwan Fest for the past few years. Regardless of who we dialogue with, we always have an indigenous band that travels to Taiwan Fest. And this year, this group is actually you know, been around for a couple of months now, and they were at the Vancouver Folk Music and Mission Folk Music Festival. And what's good thing about them is while they're journey in Canada, they actually had met with other indigenous band, and they're going into recording studios to do songs together, and leaving their footprint impact here in Canada. Unlike other bands that travel in the past, they come and go, but this one has stuck around, and they're getting a lot of new friends, and hopefully they're taking Canadian stories to Taiwan, and maybe someday that the Taiwanese stories can be also heard through the indigenous artists here in Canada as well. We also have another, I think it's a very wonderful program that we engage local musicians, which is Harmonia on String Ensemble. They will play for Taiwan Fest, and this year the theme is focused on the stories of independence, and also it's a group of musicians who just love music, classical music, and we always bring them together. We want to make sure it's not just featuring Taiwanese artists. There's always room to feature local artists, and it's a great friendship partnership with Harmonia and String Ensemble. So that's another great program to check out. I want to also take this opportunity to kind of share that another group called Cut Sleeve, and it's a Asian queer band, and you know, when we talk about independence, they also have their stories to tell, and they don't want anyone to tell their story. So and it's a band from Toronto, so it is something that we are hoping that their story get to be shared as well. And I would like to also take this opportunity to feature another artist by the name of Vanessa Le Fan, and she is a Taiwanese folk pop songs artist, songwriters, and her She's always trying to sing in her mother tongue, Mandarin. But you know, that's a bit of challenging here in Canada for her. But she insists that to do that, so she's going to be bringing her music and her film together to Taiwan Fest as well. So it's a way to kind of feature local talent as well. So that's our, you know, sort of a highlights for our music programs.
Those are the sounds of Canatel, followed by the Harmonia String Ensemble. Both are appearing live at Taiwan Fest 2022 in Vancouver. For more information, go to VancouverTaiwanFest.ca.
Is there one film that you're going to be showing that is also a can't miss?
We feature a few different films, but if there's one film that I think everyone should go check out, it would be the film that... wait, just one sec. I just escaped my. Well, if there's a film to be, if there's a film you don't want to miss, it's actually the film that's actually by a Malaysian director, Boh Lo Mi. It's talking about the Malaysian Communist Party and how it had impacted. Two generations of Malaysian Chinese there, and how they the storyline is really interconnected, and you know, one in Malaysia and the other one in Taiwan, and how this their personal experiences about living in these two different places and how they have really connected with each other. This is a film that that's in part sponsored by Vancouver International Film Festival. It actually was featured in VIF before as well.
That was my guest, Charlie Wu of the Asian Canadian Special Events Association, which produces Taiwan Fest, September 3rd to 5th in Vancouver at the North Plaza of the Vancouver Art Gallery and a few other venues downtown. More information, go to VancouverTaiwanFest.ca. And to learn more about the Asian Canadian Special Events Association and its year-round events, go to acsea.ca.
News podcast for Around the Rim. We look at news headlines around the Pacific Rim.
In the Taiwan news, Taiwan restaurant chains eye U.S. market post-COVID. From beef noodle to pot stickers, Taiwan restaurants rekindle plans to expand in the U.S. La Caffa Group, which owns handmade drink chain Cha Time, announced opening of the Duan Chun Zhen beef noodle store in Northern California. It will be the second outlet in the state. Duan Chun Zhen plans to make inroads into Canada and the UK too, eyeing a total of 10 overseas stores by the end of this year. Coffeehouse Louisa Coffee and Japanese-style barbecue restaurant Hutong Yakiniku are also making forays into the US in the near future. In Kyoto news, Nuke Disarmament Confab fails to adopt report due to differences. Parties were unable to bridge irreconcilable differences over contentious issues during the nearly month-long session at the UN headquarters. With Russia opposed to approving a draft report, the review conference of the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty failed to agree to a document for the second straight time following the same outcome at the previous session held in 2015. Participants also discussed a call for states to adopt doctrines banning preemptive use of nuclear weapons in an earlier version of the final report, but the latest version omits the matter. In the Hong Kong Free Press, Hong Kong court revokes decision to clear man of playing protest song on Erhu without police permit. Deputy Magistrate Felix Tam reversed a decision he handed down just 4 days earlier when he ruled that 68-year-old Li Ji-shin had no case to answer and gave him Hong Kong $500 court fees in return. The Mandarin-speaking defendant played the protest anthem Glory to Hong Kong on the two-stringed instrument. That's Around the Rim on this edition of the Breaker.News podcast.
Now it's time on the Breaker.News podcast for Cascadia Calling. We look at news headlines around the Pacific Northwest.
In the Oregonian, Oregon may follow California's plan to phase out gas-powered vehicle sales, lawmakers say. Following the Thursday announcement that California will ban the sale of gasoline-powered cars by 2035, and Washington's plans to do the same, a spokesperson for Governor Kate Brown's office said Oregon is already in the process of developing similar rules. Investments like the Department of Transportation's $100 million designated for adding public charging stations around the state and expanding electrical grid capacity are already happening. In King 5, I would take it so personally if it happens. Mother of Wazoo student who died after hazing wants to prevent more deaths. Sam Martinez's parents want other families to avoid the same tragedy they have endured. The Bellevue teen died after a 2019 Washington State University hazing incident, and his family is urging others to learn from their story. Martinez joined the Alpha Tau Omega fraternity in August 2019, attended the Big Little Night where his so-called big brother gave him and another freshman 40 shots of rum at the party, but Martinez died of alcohol poisoning. In Czech news, First Nation near Vancouver Island celebrates new $25 million wastewater treatment plant. The Ahuzat First Nation on Flores Island has about 740 members living on Reserve 15, where the new wastewater treatment plant is located. According to the Government of Canada, the new plant, which also provides secondary biological treatment with disinfection and marine disposal, meets both federal and provincial wastewater regulations and will be maintained by trained operators from the First Nation. That's Cascadia Calling on this edition of the Breaker.News podcast.
It don't matter what color you are, 'cause love will conquer hate, so you won't stand alone, you won't stand alone.
The Virtual Nanaimo Bar, brought to you by Spruce Hill Contracting.
Every week we end the Breaker.News podcast on a tasty note by awarding the goodness of a virtual Nanaimo bar to people making a difference. A virtual version of the province's favorite dessert bar goes this week to the people making the tasty and adventurous food at the Pacific National Exhibition, like Bailey Marshall, proprietor of the Acai Dude Smoothie Bowl.
Yeah, so I'm originally from California, so I grew up having acai bowls, and when I moved to Canada, there wasn't much of a market here for it, and I honestly just kind of thought I'd like to bring this to everybody. It's like a healthy, great snack. I make these all the time at home in the morning, and I kind of just wanted to bring that to Vancouver.
Jang Nguyen of the Roasted Revolution Japanese Street Corn Truck. Todd and Cole Marchant of Summerland Soft Serve with their mac and cheese ice cream.
And if you can wrap your head around it, it actually tastes pretty good. The more you eat, the more it tastes like cheese. Yes.
The Kainth family and their curry in a hurry samosas.
And wonderful to be able to kind of have, few generations kind of, being running the fair. Like my dad and my mom started it in 1980 and us kids grew up working here. And so now I'm passing it along to like my son and my nieces and nephews, and they're great. They get a great chance to meet different types of people. And I think the fair is all about being happy and joyful, and it's great to see the youth getting an experience of that, because there's a lot of other distractions in the world these days, right?
And last but not least, Jessa and Keith Bradford's Nanaimo Bar Mini Donut at the Little Donut Bakery. This has got my stamp of approval. A Nanaimo Bar Mini Donut, you know how much I love Nanaimo bars. You better act quickly, the PNE 2022 fair closes on Labor Day. More information and how to buy tickets? Go to pne.ca. You can nominate someone for a virtual Nanaimo bar. Send me an email to bob@thebreaker.news. Spruce Hill Contracting, custom homes and renovations. Find more information at sprucehill.ca. That's it for the Breaker.News podcast for the week of August 28th, 2022. I'm Bob Mackin. Thanks for joining me. Did you know that on the 28th of August in 1963, Martin Luther King Jr.'s March on Washington, D.C. for Jobs and Freedom, where he gave his signature I Have a Dream speech?
I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream.
Now you know. Send me your feedback, send me your story ideas to bob@thebreaker.news. Bookmark thebreaker.news. You can also find us at thebreaker.ca. Sign up for the email newsletter and get updates to your inbox. For news as it happens, follow The Breaker News on Twitter and visit thebreaker.news on Facebook. You can support The Breaker for as little as $2 a month. For more information, go to patreon.com/thebreakernews. That's patreon.com/thebreakernews. Until next week.